If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, hey, and welcome into the House of L podcast. I'm Lawrence Holmes. Thanks so much for hanging out with me as we talk a little bit about the Bears and their game against the Ravens. We are brought to you by Remy Martin, Team of Excellence. I finally got my wall art that I've been waiting on, and it's a lot of Chicago stuff, including Soldier Field, which is part of the reason that I got this collection of really cool drawings. So there's also a Jordan thing over here. Maybe when I do some basketball, I'll flip the camera and you guys can, I'll show you that. And then it is the anniversary of the White Sox winning. And I do have my White Sox parade photo that I'm actually in. You know what? Let me show it to you real quick. Hang on.
Let me show it to you.
For those of you who are listening on Apple or Spotify, thank you. You should go over to the YouTube. This is actually was sent in to me by a listener. And I should probably turn the light off for a second so you can really see it. Sorry. All right. So this was sent in to me by a listener. And in here, you can see the parade route. And I am on one of the buses. It's one of my favorite things. I think I'm on this bus right here. But yeah, it's over here in the corner. I won't delay us talking about the Bears anymore. All right, let's get back to the Bears. Actually, this light is okay. I'm going to leave the light off for a little while. That was disappointing today. That was really disappointing when you think about what the Ravens were walking into the game without, and that's without an MVP. Granted, the Bears have all sorts of injuries that should not be discounted. The fact that you're out there with your fifth or sixth best combination at cornerback, that's not good. But it felt like after they got done with those first two series, I mean, those were, we were in both group chats today. My group chat with Herbie and Campy and Tony, and then my group chat with the show, all of us were like, yeah, you might need those 4 points that you left out there. Oh, you might need those 4 points that you left out there again. I believe Campy even said, Bears about to fuck around and find out. And he was right. And that's what ended up happening. A team that I wouldn't say was begging to be put out of their misery, because I think that's a proud bunch and they played like it. You had the chance to put them out of their misery and you didn't. And because of that, they were able to come up with some big plays. I don't ordinarily start with stuff that happens on special teams unless there's a major gaffe, salute, major gaffe. But the amount of return yards that Baltimore got on kickoffs was not good for the Bears. And you start looking at their where they were starting drives, they had really good field position. And they turned that field position into points. I'm looking now like at some of the statistics on this, and it's scary stuff that they were able to get that much out of their return game. And you weren't. They averaged 31 yards a return on kickoffs. They had 5 returns. Wow. Now, the Bears did great on kickoff returns too, but they would often turn into penalties by the offense and all that stuff. So to put it into context, Bears had 6 returns for 157 yards, which is really good. Baltimore had 5 returns for 154 yards. So an average of 31 yards a return, that's too many. And then you add in the punt that is down inside the two that you have to call back because you're not lined up correctly. And then they end up getting another 15 yards on the next punt because you kick it out of bounds. Like there was a lot of stuff inside of today's game that was troubling, like the offense going to sleep. And then the way that the offense looked disjointed as we got to the end of the second half and at the end of the game, especially. I know that what Caleb is trying to do is score and score quickly. Them not having any idea of like how they were going to do that if a play failed was upsetting. So you look at the final numbers on this, and they don't look terrible for Caleb. 25 of 38, 285 yards. He got sacked, and he had the one interception that was huge. Like, that was a big deal. That was probably the game, and him trying to fit that ball and telegraphing where it was going to go, and then the defender Wiggins jumping the route and coming up with a huge play. There's hidden yards in here, too. There's the penalties on him, the intentional grounding penalties. To have two of those in a half, that's not ideal. Meanwhile, Tyler Huntley didn't do anything special other than direct the offense, take the free cheese, and then make a big play when he had to. He had 56 rush yards in this game. There were a couple of called ones, and there were some where he didn't have it in the pass game, and he took off. 17 of 22, 186, a touchdown, no interceptions, passer rating of 116.9. When your quarterback gets outplayed by a very serviceable, very, very serviceable backup, and you're talking about the number one pick in the draft and someone who's now got what? Let me do a quick math. I'm bad at math. He's got 24 games under his belt. I'm not saying that miracles have to happen. I'm saying that you should walk in with a decided advantage at quarterback. And for the first 8 minutes of the game, it felt like you had it. And then as Baltimore's defense adjusted, the Bears' offense did not. They didn't run the ball particularly well in this game as a group. DeAndre Swift, I thought, ran the ball fairly well. He wasn't given a ton of opportunities because you end up chasing most of the second half, but they just kept the ball away from you. Derrick Henry had 21 rushes for 71 yards. But he came up with two big runs. When you had to have it, he didn't put the ball on the ground, and he gave you what you needed. You know what's funny? I don't know why Zay Flowers' first step is always backwards. And I know that it's probably worked for him at some point. It just seemed so unnecessary, and it felt like it was going to cost them. The Ravens weren't even necessarily effective on third down. Only 40%. But you look at what they were able to do. Like, they ran the ball well. They averaged 5 yards a carry. And this goes back to something that we were talking about a few weeks ago on whether or not the Bears could stop the run consistently. A quarterback that's able to run adds an extra dimension to it. And Huntley did just enough for it to negate any of the gains that you had made on defense. You didn't take the ball away this time. You weren't the team that was going out here and getting the ball. You lost that battle. And when you don't have an overwhelming advantage like they've had the last couple of weeks, these are the types of games that you lose. With my blowout rule, like the blowout, to me, if you double the spread, it's a blowout. And considering that even if you kept the spread at 6.5, which is what it originally was before Lamar was deemed out of this game, they would have more than doubled the spread. So this counts to me as a blowout in this game. But that's how it ends up happening. You don't all those little things end up adding up to big things and you lose. It's tough to win on the road. We've been talking about that, and the Bears have done a nice job of bouncing back so far and winning on the road. This game showed a lot of limitations. I know that Rome had an excellent day when you look at him statistically. Seven out of 10 targets, 114 yards. That play on the sideline, it's helter-skelter. It's quarterback on the run. He's got to make that catch. The real dudes in this league make that catch in that situation. And between that and contested catches, those are still areas where I think Rome Odunze can get better. Not having some of your pieces on offense and defense plays a role, but hell, if you're the Ravens, you don't have the MVP, and you were able to do that. I was curious. I haven't looked because we had talked about it in the group chat. Let me look real quick on the numbers, because I figured Roquan would have like 20 tackles in this game. He only ended up with 12. And I did think the Bears did a good job of adjusting off of Kyle Hamilton. And Hamilton did have that big play. And they figured out like to work hot behind him. And they got some chunk plays with it. But still, you have a lot of good and talented guys on defense. Van Noy, Roquan, Kyle Hamilton, Malachi Starks, Marlon Humphrey. They've got some guys that can make plays, and they did just what they needed to do. Now they're good. They'll have their guy back on Thursday night, and they'll think that they can make a run. With the Bears, It was an upsetting loss, and you're entitled to be upset about the loss. Like it just wasn't good, and it could have been a lot better. They just looked out of sorts. They were penalized. Theo Benedet is having a rough time in pass protection. A real rough time, and you know, it's his third start, right? So you can't be too mad at him. You can be mad at the Bears, though. You can be mad at the Bears for not really addressing the left tackle position. By the way, Ozzie Trapillo spent a lot of time as an H-back in this game, and I thought he did a pretty nice job. When they asked him to come out there as the kind of extra tight end, or he's lined up in the backfield, or he's coming across on a block, I thought that he did a nice job of showing off some athleticism. But your depth gets tested because you were already injured. Then you get more injuries to your defensive line. So guys are getting tired by the end of the game because they're playing more snaps than they usually play. We did see a Grady Jarrett sighting today. I thought that he had an impact on the game early on, but none of it was good enough. And I don't know if any of this is going to be good enough for you, considering that now it feels like a couple of games where the quarterback hasn't made progress. And you start looking at the percentage for him over the last five games, and even though there are four wins in there, that percentage is still an issue. He's still missing more frequently than his counterparts in the league. And it's like, how do you get all of that stuff corrected? I don't know, but they better. Now, I waited to do the pod until I saw how the game played out in Cincinnati against Cincinnati, and the Jets were able to come back and win. I'm looking forward to, I want to go watch how that all played out. If you're Joe Flacco, you're like, wait, we scored 38 points and we lost? Not my fault, not it. But that's the next team that's on the docket for the Bears, and they're going to have some problems unless they get, I mean, think about it. If you have to deal with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, and now you don't have your guys in that defensive backfield, that becomes problematic. Let me just take a quick look in here because I hadn't looked at the stats. But let me take a quick look. I'm happy for Justin that he got a win. He was okay in the game. But let me look how many. Okay, yeah. Joe Flacco has cracked the code, baby. He knows. Ja'Marr Chase had 19 targets in this game. 19. And you better buckle up, Nashawn Wright, because he's going to have 19 targets next week, too. Him and T. Higgins will probably combine for like 30 targets in that game. So the Bears better buckle up. This is a scary portion of their schedule. And it looked that way for different reasons when you first looked at the calendar. Now it's scary because you again end up in a situation where next week you're taking on a team that's desperate at home. And maybe the Bears will find their desperation too after getting beat up in Baltimore, having big fun with the wretched in Baltimore. Maybe they'll find it, but the Giants team is not good, but they're better. The Bengals are better right now. There should be some points opportunities for the Bears, but they better look out for sure. And those are the next two opponents, so we'll see how all of it goes. But that's it. That's all I got. Thanks for putting up with taking a look inside what's going on here. Oh, wait, I guess I didn't truly show you this one I really love. It's the L. So that's cool. And then obviously, like my guys, Chicago Vice, you can't beat that. If you haven't gotten over to the YouTube page and you're listening on Apple or Spotify, come on over. Be a subscriber. It doesn't cost you anything. I'm not gonna charge you anything for that. This is just free, fun content. And we appreciate having a partner like Remy Martin that allows us to do that. Lots of stuff on the radio show this week. We'll break it all down this week. I'll have a college football review tomorrow on House of L for week 9. Roll Tide, right where we need to be. There's a lot of other stuff that's going on in college football. I might even do a basketball pod this week, considering the news. We'll see. We'll see what I have time for, but I appreciate your support as always. I will talk to you next time. Peace.